The AMA is committed to making physician burnout a thing of the past by addressing issues that fuel burnout at the system level and supporting physician well-being. Individual physicians often have their own way of coping, like Dr. Frank Clark, who has found comfort in writing haiku.
I actually enjoy the practice and just the thinking about the 5-7-5 pattern that makes a haiku. A walk in nature and forest cacophony, a muser's delight. For me, poetry has been cathartic in a lot of ways, and I find it, again, rejuvenating for my mind, my body, and my spirit.
Dr. Frank Clark shares his passion for haiku in this episode of Moving Medicine. In his conversation with AMA senior news writer Sarah Berg, Dr. Clark reinforces the use of creative outlets as a means of coping with burnout.
Today, I'm talking with Dr. Frank Clark and learning more about his experience writing haikus as a way to cope with burnout. Thanks so much for being here with us, Dr. Clark.
Thank you, Sarah. I appreciate you having me on, and it's always a pleasure to reconnect with you during these unprecedented times.
Of course, definitely. So what drew you to haikus? Where did it all start?
You know, that's a very good question. I have been writing poetry probably since I was in medical school, and I have been trying to focus on the silver linings during this pandemic. And one of the things that the pandemic has allowed me to do is I think it's re-energized me in terms of my passion for writing. And so I started writing more poetry. I think I was kind of in a dormant stage, maybe, as it relates to writing. And as you know, there's so much to write about now as regarding the pandemic and the social and political unrest and racial injustices that we continue to see in our society. So I definitely had a lot of content to reflect on. So I just started trying to increase my versatility, so to speak, as it comes to poetry. And I said, well, let me try writing haikus, because I had never written them. And so I actually enjoyed the practice and just the thinking about the 5-7-5 pattern that makes a haiku. So you have, I think it's 17 syllables. The first line is 5 syllables. The second line is 7 syllables. And then the third line is 5 syllables. So it actually takes a lot of work, because sometimes you can have one extra syllable in there. And I'm always trying to sound out words, making sure that I have the right number of syllables. But I have come to enjoy writing them. And I've been writing them probably now for the past year.
I love that. I think that's wonderful. You don't hear too often that people write about haiku, so I'm impressed for sure. Was there a specific moment when you realized this was a good coping outlet for you, or how did that happen?
Well, throughout my life, I have found various ways of coping, especially during times of stress and, as we mentioned, these dire times that we're living in. I first began writing poetry actually, again, back in medical school when I was diagnosed with clinical depression. And I've been in remission now as it relates to depression for probably over a decade, but I needed to find an outlet. Running had always been my outlet. I ran on the high school and collegiate level, track and cross country. I have a fine arts background in general in terms of growing up in the dance world with doing tap, ballet, and jazz, and then also playing the piano and the flute, but I decided that I needed to explore more of me. I think sometimes it's easy to not do a lot of reflection because we're so busy in our lives. And so that's how I started writing poetry, mainly to help cope with the depression that I was experiencing in medical school. And so I have stuck with that. And again, mentioning, you know, it's kind of a rebirth for me in some ways in terms of writing the poetry, and it has definitely served as a not only as a coping skill and I guess also very therapeutic, but it's allowed me to share it with friends and family. And you and I know have collaborated on some things with your artwork, so it's been a great experience for me.
That's great to hear. So you felt that it helped with your depression once you were diagnosed with it?
Absolutely. You know, I work with individuals every day who have mental health conditions and substance use disorders due to a lot of different stressors that have gone on in their life, whether it be adverse childhood experiences or this pandemic or other things that are going on. And I believe that it is important to take a holistic approach to patient care. And while I believe in that philosophy, I also think it is prudent that the provider or the physician or nurse practitioner or PA, whoever it may be, serving that patient also takes time to practice what they preach. And so you don't have to write poetry in order to take care of yourself. That could be, you know, some people enjoy fishing, some people enjoy crocheting. I met a patient yesterday who enjoys doing the shag and swing dancing. You know, you have to, it has to be tailor-made for the individual. And so, you know, I think sometimes as healers, so to speak, we can be very hypocritical and we talk the talk, but we don't necessarily walk the walk. And so I think it's very important that as mental health professionals, for example, that we heal ourselves. And so for me, poetry has been cathartic in a lot of ways. And I find it, again, rejuvenating for my mind, my body, and my spirit.
That's wonderful. Do you share that also with your patients, your coping mechanisms?
That's a very good question. I think sometimes it's we have to be mindful of self-disclosure. What I have shared with my patients is that, you know, when they talk about their coping skills, you know, I've asked them, do they enjoy writing? I will disclose to them that, you know, I enjoy writing poetry just to kind of break the ice, so to speak. You know, a lot of times when individuals are coming to the office for the first time or they're coming in on the inpatient unit, it can be very, I guess, anxiety provoking, especially if they've never seen a psychiatrist. And so I like to explore people's interests, what fills their love bank, so to speak. Where do they find meaning and purpose? And some will tell me that they enjoy writing poetry or other forms of art or exploring the humanities. And so I take that opportunity to share with them, well, you know, that's one of my interests. And that can then, you know, again, break the ice and it can create more of a conversation. And I've had some very interesting conversations with patients about the arts. And what I have found over the years is that a lot of my patients are very artistic. And sometimes there's such a stigma with individuals with mental health conditions that we forget that that we are human beings and that we forget to explore humanity at its, in all its glory.
Those are all really great points. Do you have a favorite haiku or two or three that you could share with our listeners?
Sure, I'd be happy to. This is one that I wrote, probably last week. And to preface this one, I do a lot of wellness walks. Actually, I just got back from one before I knew I was going to be meeting with you today to kind of clear my head and just rejuvenate my mind and spirit. So this is the haiku. A walk in nature and forest cacophony, a muser's delight. The other one that I will share, Sarah, is one that you and I collaborated on. And I don't know if most people know this. I want to brag on you a little bit here because, you're a phenomenal writer, and but also you have an appreciation and passion for the arts. And you and I have corresponded over the last couple months, and you have shared with me some of your artwork, which is wonderful. And I remember you sharing with me your most recent piece, where it was, two manatees. And I decided to write a haiku. I was inspired by your artwork. And so I'm going to share that with our audience members, the haiku that I wrote based on that. Deep ocean lovers, manatee intimacy, two cuddlers for life.
I love it. And it's been wonderful collaborating with you as well. It's great how you can easily flow your haiku with the paintings that I do or other people do. So that's wonderful.
I appreciate it. It's been great to collaborate with artists like yourself and others that I've been doing some collaborations with locally and internationally. So it's I'm very grateful for those opportunities. It's been a blessing.
Medicine doesn't stand still, and at the AMA, neither do we. AMA members are physicians like you who are shaping the future of medicine. Become a member today and join the movement. Visit ama-assn.org/movingmedicine.
You also collaborate with artists like Lisa Tao, who will create a painting to accompany your haiku and vice versa. How did that collaboration start with you writing a haiku or a poem and someone painting a picture?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, you know, I am I'm a go-getter. I refuse to take no for an answer unless... Well, I have taken no for an answer, but my mom has always said that, you know, if you don't ask, then you don't know. And so I kind of live on the edge. I'm a risk taker, I think, in some ways. And so Lisa Tao is she's a Malaysian artist. Her first career is as an attorney, and we actually connected on LinkedIn. And I really enjoy seeing some of her artwork, and she also she reminds me of almost like a, she's really into impressionism, so she kind of has that Monet feel, so to speak. And you've seen some of her artwork, I know, as well, and just a very talented individual. And so I just messaged her, and we started talking about just the art and humanities. I was telling her about my background as it relates to being in mental health, and how I think that there's some intersectionality there when we think about mental health and the arts and the humanities. And she agreed. And so sent her a haiku. And within an hour or so, she came up with a sketch. And then to go along with my haiku, which was published in Psychiatric Times. And so then we just started talking about ways that we could collaborate. And we're actually working on a collaboration with her and her friend Reka Ravivi-Duren. I think I pronounced that correctly. But she is a Malaysian composer who has done a lot of work on various films throughout her career, including Avatar and Pan. And we are doing a joint collaboration, basically, where I have written 13 haikus with the theme of self-compassion, using nature as nature symbolism, so to speak. And Lisa is going to be doing some paintings that are inspired by the haikus, and Reka is going to be composing the music. And we are hopeful to have an exhibition in the U.S. in the new year to premiere this collaboration. So, you know, I consider it providential. I don't believe in coincidences. And, you know, that's been one collaboration. We have others that I'm doing with some local artists in South Carolina, including Donnell Ferguson and Lisa Shirkmo.
Good. And do you publish your work anywhere online?
I do. So I self-published a book of poetry, my first book, back in 2014, and it's called The Other Side. And basically, I needed to explore the other side of me, about, you know, mainly what people really don't know about me and what I didn't really know about myself. So kind of doing some digging and having some time for reflection. And so that's on Amazon, and you can, I think it's about $5 for purchase, but I have published there. And then most of my writings now have been published through Psychiatric Times, which has been a psychiatric magazine. I actually serve on their advisory council, and I'm the section editor for diversity and inclusion. And I've been very grateful for my colleagues at Psychiatric Times for giving me the opportunity, again, to share my thoughts and reflections with a wider audience. And so it's been fun. I will usually probably write at least maybe 2 to 3, maybe even more than that, haikus a week. depending on what's going on in the world or depending on what I'm thinking about.
That's impressive. That's wonderful that you can do that. Do you have plans to put together any more books like your one from 2014?
That's a great question. You and all my other friends have asked me this question. I will never say never. You know, to do the self-publishing, it took a lot of time and effort. I would like to self-publish a second book, or maybe I can find a publisher that likes my work and will assist in that. But I think it's safe to say that you can maybe anticipate another book coming out for me down the road. It's it'll definitely be a lot of haikus and some other works that'll be dedicated to various people in my life, including my wife and my daughter.
I like that a lot. I'll definitely keep an eye out for that.
Awesome.
Do you focus just on haikus, or does your writing expand into other styles? And how do you decide which one to go for?
That's a very good question. So I do a lot of free verse, I would say. I try writing some sonnets. I tell you, Shakespeare, I commend that guy. You know, the only thing we have in common is that we share the same birthday. I don't always write haikus. It just depends on how I'm feeling. Sometimes I can consolidate my thoughts in terms of they can be they can be consolidated into a haiku, but sometimes I have a lot more to say. So it just depends on my mood and how I'm feeling and kind of also what I'm writing about.
It does also seem like you can easily write a haiku at the drop of a hat. Do you feel that's the case?
I would say so. You know, if you ask my wife, she always knows when I'm writing haikus because I will be counting on my fingers. And basically what I'm doing is making sure that I have the right number of syllables for each line that I'm writing. And so I'm very grateful for her support because she knows that once I'm in a zone, it's hard to get me out of that zone. But she also is very supportive. Because she knows if I'm writing, that is an outlet for me. And she enjoys reading them as well. But yeah, I have been known to, I think your example, the collaboration that we did together, you sent me that poem, your artwork, I think it was in the evening. And I think within maybe 5 minutes or so, I replied back with a haiku. So
yes, it's very impressive. What is the importance of art and narratives in medicine?
Well, I actually think that it's the most important part of the person that's sitting across from you. You know, one of the things that I don't want to say preach, but I encourage our residents that I work with and medical students is that who you are treating is more important than what you are treating. You know, we have the skill set to take a detailed history and come up with diagnosis. And that's great. You know, we want to make sure that we get the diagnosis right, so to speak, and so that we can come up with the right treatment plan. But the person sitting in front of you, if you really listen to their narrative and you explore the narrative, the diagnosis will be there. So when we're developing a treatment plan for our patients, we have to explore all aspects of them. What's going to help get them well? And yeah, some Zoloft, Prozac, sure, that may be helpful. But what about their spiritual aspect of that person? If they have any religious or spiritual beliefs, what about, you know, the person that says, you know, playing my guitar brings me happiness? Well, yeah, we want you to continue to do that. So let's put all of your pieces, your wellness pieces of the puzzle together so that you can be your best self.
I like that. Is this something other physicians or individuals might want to consider? So haikus or any sort of arts?
I find that a lot of my colleagues are creative in their own way. I think sometimes, again, we forget to explore that other part of who we are. So I would recommend that whatever your creative juices are and whatever flows, nurture it. There's so much that can be said for what the arts bring as it relates to healing. You know, there's a plethora of literature out there that that has illustrated that art therapy and music therapy can be very beneficial. You can look at the studies with individuals with neurocognitive disorders, such as Alzheimer's disease, and how art therapy and music therapy can be beneficial. Individuals with depression, you know, the studies are out there, the research is out there, and we just have to be, I think, more intentional and motivated to be able to carry out these things. And I think that our patients will appreciate it as well.
Absolutely. So I just want to thank you, Dr. Clark, for sharing your experience with writing haikus as a way to cope with burnout. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, as always.
Sarah, it is always a pleasure to work with you. I just appreciate appreciate you and your friendship over the years, and I look forward to many more collaborations with you.
Absolutely. This has been wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can subscribe to Moving Medicine and other great AMA podcasts anywhere you listen to yours, or visit ama-assn.org/podcasts. I'm Todd Unger, and this is Moving Medicine. Thanks for listening.